Hello, listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to The Course of Course, episode 22. A really interesting week. I know for me, I think things have changed for you, at least in the garden that we've been talking about.
I feel like it was an intense week.
So what happened to the garden? So we can wrap that one up.
The garden, I talked with my garden person, and she was very loving and very understanding, and it was very easy. And now I've set her up with another master gardener who lives a block away. And I spoke to my so-called arch nemesis, who have now aligned with me to work with me to try and get more gardens in our fair city.
You had arch nemesis?
Yes.
In the garden community?
Well, they were trying to shut us down.
Oh my goodness. But now they're your friends, no longer your foes.
Correct.
Well, good for you. You transformed.
And that. I say that like in air quotes, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Friends.
Just like in a funny, silly kind of use of words sort of way.
Right. It's kind of like they're your friends, but you might not invite them over for Easter dinner.
That's for sure.
Unless they brought fresh garden greens. And then you're like, well, maybe I can rethink that.
Yes.
So I remember recording the podcast last week and I had said, you know, me in the future is going to say I had a fantastic week at work and it transformed everything. It was sort of the exact opposite. So I'm hoping that maybe the listeners can kind of sympathize or maybe understand a little of my intent was to have everything transform in a positive way. It kind of took the exact opposite for me. And I had a bit of a break, to be honest. It was a very, very tough week for me. It was just too much at once. And I had said this before, I feel like my forgiveness lessons were coming so fast at me. Like something is speeding up. And if it's for my good, then I appreciate that. But I just needed them to slow down. And because it was happening with rapidity, as I said last week, it just got to a breaking point with me. So the good thing was I had the break and it wasn't pretty. Once I came out of that, I was able to breathe a little and go, come on. But there was an event that happened during the week that unfortunately, I hate having to use someone else's tragedy as the impetus for me to like pivot, but it is what it is. So I have somebody who works for me on my team who I just adore, a gentleman. I truly adore him. He's like light. His light just shines through. He and his wife were expecting a baby. She was, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks past her due date. And so they went into the hospital. I'm not going to go into too many details, but essentially the baby was delivered and it lived for maybe a few more hours. But because we felt like we had been there with him the entire time, this did not happen to us, but it felt like it did. And then kind of working through it in my own mind, I thought, well, here's the thing. Whatever I thought was so big and terrible at work and the injustice and everything was simply, it just evaporated because it was just silly and ridiculous. When you think about some of this other stuff that happens in this crazy dream of ours, I was being childish and selfish and ego-driven. None of that was real anyway. I knew better. You know, sometimes our egos take over and it just took me a little while to be able to process and go, okay, now I understand. When you get into those moments, I think we all go through kind of a manic situation where, you know, we're just stuck in it. And it's kind of like a hamster wheel. It just takes a while for that to spin, you know, until the energy is depleted. And then you're like, oh, okay, I can breathe again. The upshot, I guess, if there's an upshot here, is that it really did solidify my belief that this doesn't exist, that I really am in control of my thoughts. I am the one who can transform the energy. And it's not people who are doing stuff to me, but when you have it come at you over and over again, it takes a lot to pull out of it. And I hate to say that this quote unquote tragedy of somebody I work with was the reason why I was able to pull out of it. I hate that. You know, I also understand that that didn't really happen either. What a busy week for me. What a tumultuous week for me. And I'm so glad I was able to survive it. And here I am at the podcast explaining to the listeners that this happens. It happened to me. I don't know. This part of me is kind of glad. Anytime you have experience, it does help you. When something else happens, you can always look back and go, oh yeah, I went through that and I survived it and it's going to be okay. It was probably the first time since I've been a kind of serious course student that I really felt like I was at that breaking point. Super fun.
But you got to come out on the other side having a breakthrough.
Yes. So there's always a silver lining, listeners. I know sometimes in our dream lives, things just seem so bad and we don't think we're going to make it through, but somehow we do. Why? Because we are God. At our essence, we are as pure as God is because we are part of God. It will shine through. It's just our ego kind of does everything it can to kind of distract us, mm-hmm. but it can't distract us completely. It can't really mask the fact that we are a part of God, and mm-hmm. it does come out eventually. And it's just a matter of trust and faith, and it's okay if you stumble. Like, I was really beating myself up. Like, why can't I get past this? And all I really needed was a good night's sleep and something to really tell me, you know, this really isn't that important. For me to go, oh, things mm-hmm. happen. We always have these hiccups.
Yeah, I was thinking about the cycles of life and even just a circle and how the circle's sacred in different ancient communities and how it feels like you said the word manic, and I was thinking about my friend who's got the bipolar and how he's really high for some time. He's on top of the world. He's spinning this story and everything's grand. And then when he's back in rehab or mental institution or just on his medicine, how everything becomes boring and how it becomes flat and how he craves that high again and that excitement. And I thought, you know, he's at one moment, he's the victim, and at the other moment, he's the victimizer. And how even within our own life, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be in relationship to another, but that cycle of victim-victimizer, we do to ourselves. To me, that just was like an aha moment.
Well, this is the fellow that you've been talking about in the past couple podcasts mm-hmm. who has been in and out of, I guess, mental facilities. Mm-hmm. And he's out this week, I am assuming.
No, he's back in. He's back in.
In a different city.
Yeah, but it's like, why is this person going through this suffering and how can I learn from it? And normally we think of that victimizer as being in relationship to someone else, like my boss is being mean or my boyfriend's being mean. But actually we demonstrate that cycle and that behavior even within our own life.
Yep.
And that kind of mental illness is a good example.
I find, like you were talking about the circle and kind of like the cycle of things. Mm-hmm. I have talked a little about my significant other, quote unquote, of course. I'm not married, but, you know, I may have a relatively long-term relationship.
He's important.
He's an important person in my life. And I did see a difference in him this week, which was nice. I didn't push it. It just kind of evolved, which was lovely. I think we're all kind of progressing just at our own paces. It's fascinating to see a lot of what's happening in my personal life really is being reflected in how I think and what I'm going through and how things are progressing for me. So I start seeing people around me being maybe a little kinder. Not all of them. I mean, like you said, I still have my nemesis, quote unquote, which I kind of don't like casting in that term. But, you know, to be honest with you, at this moment in time, I think nemesis is probably an appropriate word.
It's kind of comical in a way.
Right. It's comical, right? like some sort of, I don't know, superhero movie and there's a nemesis there. That one, that is a relationship I'm still working on. I just am. I think others in my life are becoming calmer and not as, I don't want to use the word manic because I don't think they've been really manic in my life, but there have been times where I would point to them, like finger pointing away from me to them, mm-hmm. like they haven't done something and they haven't fulfilled my need and it's not their responsibility. So it's nice coming to the realizations as slowly as they're coming for me. I'll be quite honest with you. I wish that I was the most amazing course student on the planet. I'm simply not. And that's okay. You know, I'm just learning. It's a daily process for me.
You are what you are, and it's all perfect.
And it's all perfect. It could just be more perfect.
Well, when I think about my lessons and how they keep trying to instill in us that how we think of our brother is how we'll think of ourselves.
Right.
And so in that circle, I was thinking of us with God and like God shining on us to remind us who we are so that we can shine back to him so that it can be that circle of awakening. I just thought that was kind of neat.
I like that this is the Easter podcast, I guess, because Easter Sunday is tomorrow at the time we're recording this. From a Christian perspective, Easter is Jesus rising again. It's that metaphor of dying for one's sins and then coming back and rejoining God. I guess Christianity got that right, which I appreciate.
Except that the sins don't exist.
Except that sins don't exist. There's that. And the whole thing of Easter has been so confused. I mean, somehow kids get Easter baskets and a bunny delivers it, but the bunny doesn't lay eggs. Bunnies don't lay eggs.
They lay chocolate eggs.
They apparently, you know, it's just, there's all this confusion about it. What is that got to do with anything? This is a religious Christian holiday. From a Jewish perspective, it's Passover. Jewish folk, I guess, are aligned more to the Old Testament. and kind of mainstream Christianity is aligned with the New Testament, which is an interesting split as well.
I never knew that.
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Passover is in the Old Testament and Jesus's crucifixion is in the New. Learning something every day, Stephanie. Yeah. Welcome to modern Christianity.
I don't even really know what Easter is all about. So I kind of don't care.
The short story from a Christian perspective is Jesus is crucified by the Romans, quote unquote, on Friday, which we call Good Friday, which is still confusing to me.
Yeah.
And then he sits in a tomb for a couple of days, and then they go to like pull him out on Sunday, and they're like, wait a minute, he's not here. He must have risen from the dead.
Like his body wasn't there at all?
No.
Oh, interesting.
You're just now learning this. You didn't know what
Because it would have been like nailed to the cross, right? So the whole physical body just disappeared.
They took it off the cross. Okay. And then they put it in this tomb thing.
Oh, I see.
And then word has it that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb to
that
check
part
on
I've
him,
heard.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't there. So
because she's the wife and she officially was the family
right,
that could
I think
do that.
From kind of like a course perspective and from certainly the Gary Renard books, yes. Uh-huh. Christianity doesn't acknowledge that.
They make her the prostitute.
Right. Mm-hmm. Welcome to our lives. So Easter then is he is risen from the dead. So it's a high holy day in Catholicism, as I'm recovering Catholic. But from a Christianity perspective, this is one of the most important holidays in the calendar. You know.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right. So that's why I'm saying Easter is very confused. I mean, from a religious standpoint, I get the Bible story of it. But from the American practice of it, it doesn't make any. There's no connection for me. It's like those who are not religious or Christian needed to have something. So they just kind of made up this bunny thing. It must have been like the chocolate industry or something.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Who said, let's do this. But even like a basket full of colored grass with jelly beans in it, it's still confounding to me. And marshmallow peeps. Welcome to America.
It's just a big old sugar high.
It's all it is, America.
Yeah.
In a capsule. But tomorrow, I will be celebrating the Easter holiday at my volunteer gig, which is fine because most people have families and children and, you know, I have a cat. So, okay, I'll volunteer. So that's where I'll be. What are you going to do tomorrow?
I'm going to start working on my tax return because that's my one day.
I wonder what the course would say about tax returns.
Because it's not real.
It's not real. But within the dreamscape, it's just something we have to do while we're still dreaming.
I like the idea of getting a tax refund.
Yeah, that's good. That part of the dream is
that
okay.
That is the only reason for doing it.
Right.
Except for maybe getting penalized for not doing one, which
right. Because
don't want to be in trouble.
You know, I actually looked this up because last week at work, somebody said, well, is it really like something we have to do? It's an amendment in the Constitution.
Is it?
I looked
it's
it
official.
Up. Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, you can always get an extension, which I usually
sure.
do.
Yeah, but you have to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just part of being American.
It helps pay for all the wars.
Unfortunately. Or the roads and things like that.
That's what we hope.
Yeah.
Our roads are still pretty crappy.
Sure.
Weird stuff that went on last week between work things and Muslims and the Christians at the university.
I don't know anything about that. What
the
was
terrorists
that?
Came through some university. I think it was in Africa somewhere. And
they did?
They said, are you Christian or are you Muslim? And if you were Christian, they shot you dead.
I didn't know about this. And I'm kind of proud of myself for not knowing.
There's
about
like 150 it. People that were killed right on the spot.
Really?
Point blank range. Yeah.
And
it's like in moments like that, I just, you know, I felt the pain. And then I just said, okay, I know this isn't real. I'm going to turn this illusion over.
Well, we were talking about the Germanwings co-pilot.
Yes.
So that's been in the news. Was it premeditated? Did he choose to down the plane, essentially? And wondering why. And the karmic kind of relationship between this co-pilot and the people on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was going on there? I mean, we don't know, but...
Mm-mm. I mean, it was mental illness. And I think that's the thing that's been demonstrated most clearly to me this week is all these weird happenings. It's just how weird the ego takes form and that it's limitless. And I feel like it's for eternity, the dream. Like it's just as vast and just as varied as the other side. And it will just continue splitting. And all that pain and suffering is what's keeping us separate from God. And that's its goal.
Now, I don't remember if it was from the Alex Marchand books. I think it might have been. Or Gary Renard's books. that they talked about, I think it was the Mayans or Aztecs or something like that, or the Lemurians. They got to a point where their culture basically transcended, and that's why they sort of disappeared from the planet.
Oh.
And that eventually, when people become more aligned with God, that you're going to see the population stabilize and start to decrease, because there will not be a need for human bodies anymore. Mm-hmm. Because once you transcend, it's not necessary. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it will be nice.
Yeah, it seems like we're at a big population boom, and you would think over time it would start to decrease.
I think in some cities in the United States, things are stabilizing, if not decreasing. But that doesn't necessarily mean population is decreasing overall. It just means that people are migrating. Because where I'm from in the Midwest...
Or they're using protection.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah, because in some countries, in their religious beliefs, you can't use it.
Oh, you're talking about worldwide population. Okay, mm-hmm. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just hope we get to a point where things just stabilize. So we aren't depleting natural resources as much as we are in this dream world.
Hmm.
California right now is under a severe drought, so we have to be more conscious of our water usage. Once we get more population, it's going to be worse. So it's just a matter of trying to figure out what the solution is here. Of course, in this dreamscape that doesn't really exist. I said this last week that our brains have to keep flip-flopping between accepting a reality, quote unquote, of our dream state and understanding none of this is real.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a lot of brain power for me.
We were talking earlier about disengaging from all the political emails that we get. And part of my faction's always been genetically modified and organic, and how I'm even disengaging from that. Because I feel like I know that one person can make a difference, but because it is a dream and because I feel the corporations are so in charge right now, that it's just going to happen however it's going to happen because it's scripted. And since engaging in it upsets me, I might as well just disengage.
Right. It's one of the reasons why I'm not really... I only watch morning news for traffic and weather. That's it. And of course, they'll talk about some local shooting or whatever. I just look away. It's like, well, I don't need that in my brain. Mm-hmm. But it's also one of the reasons why I don't watch The Daily Show. I know it's entertaining and it's great, but it just riles me up. So they will make a very passionate case, and it's hilarious, about somebody in Congress or some behavior of a politician.
Mm-hmm.
All that really does is make me not like them, mm-hmm. the politician or whomever. It's like, I don't need that anymore. It's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So politics before was more of a spectator sport for me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, I could care less.
I was having a conversation with a friend who lives in the Central Valley of California, and he was clearly revved up. And he was going on about how all the immigrants come into the United States, and because of some policy or something that Obama pushed through, they all get free benefits. They get free everything, free housing, free medical. I guess they get pocket money. They get food. Like,
yeah, how lovely.
I mean, it sounds like a great deal. I don't know if it's true, but I think it's what Fox News is saying. I don't know. Like, I had to stop him. I had to literally say, because I was not feeling good mm-hmm. as he was continuing on his rant.
Were you feeling confronted?
I don't think I was feeling confronted, but I was just feeling like there's so many ways the ego is demonstrating itself. So it doesn't necessarily have to be Africa or India or whatever, like some bad poor kid with starving because of all the wealthy people having all the money and 98% of them are poor. Like, it's happening here.
Right.
And whether it's because they don't have jobs and so they have to live on this assistance or whatever they call it, subsidies. He was trying to say like they had no ambition and they didn't really care. All their ambition was to get this financial subsidy. You know, that might be true. I don't know. I don't know why I was getting upset, but I just knew I had to stop him. Like, I didn't want to agree with him or
right.
It was just mind-blowing that there's all these parallels the ego is expressing itself in our own lifetime, in our own country, in our own state. Forget about the whole world. Like, there's just all these realities happening all at once, and it's just mind-boggling, the split.
I think for viewers who watch Fox News Channel, in my opinion, the same as viewers who watch MSNBC, I'm just using those as an example, that if you watch it enough, then you start aligning to their perspective. So if you're a Fox News Channel devotee, you're going to think those who are more liberal on the MSNBC side, you know, are crazy. And the same is true for MSNBC viewers. toward the Fox News channel viewers. I think it's that same split that we see over and over again in this universe. I'm right, you're wrong, you don't know what I'm talking about. And that's one of the reasons why I have to divest myself from politics, because at its core is a two-party system. And because it's two-party, there's always going to be somebody who isn't your party.
It's a good example of the dualistic society, which they say the course is pure non-dualistic. It was kind of tricky for me reading DU and the whole four stages. I kind of grasped it, but it seemed intellectual or something.
Four stages?
Well, there was like dualistic, non-dualistic, pure non-dualistic. They had all these different technical whatevers, and it was confusing. But now I feel like I get it more. I mean, basically just, you know, none of it's real.
Yeah, sometimes when I read stuff, I kind of gloss over it and it doesn't really absorb. And then I'll reread it and go, oh, that's what they were talking about. But some stuff I'm kind of like, whatever. There are things in Alex's book, and I love Alex's material, that I kind of like, wait a minute, what was that again?
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I mean, I've come to the point where I'm not always going to absorb 100% everything that I read.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always opportunity to reread it anyway.
I'll always spend, you know, 5 or 6 passes at it to try and get it. But in DU, some of it was just over my head a little bit. But now it makes sense.
It is interesting. When you first approach DU, like for us, that was really the first entree into the course, honestly. I mean, we had read the Marianne Williams and stuff, but it's a little watered down. It wasn't like the course in your face like DU was, in my opinion. So as we've kind of walked through some of this stuff, it's now been almost 2 years later since we first read DU that things are starting to truly kind of coagulate, mm-hmm. at least for us, I think. As we move forward and reread this stuff, I feel like I keep getting more nuggets that I just wasn't ready to absorb at the time.
I think that's why people are students for life.
You just keep reading it and go, oh, okay, now I get what you mean. Because there's surface level understanding, and then something might happen in your life. You go, oh, now I know what Jesus was saying. I'm mm-hmm. starting to get it. But there's always this part of me that feels like, well, I'm nowhere near that mastery. I have to get past the fact that just because somebody has studied this stuff for 30 years doesn't necessarily mean that they are absorbing it. As you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if a length of time in studying means anything.
Yeah, I think it's the quality. You know, either we get it or we don't.
Right, but I also think we can get it experientially. We don't necessarily have to do it in a purely academic standpoint of going through the lessons every day. I mean, there are times when what's happening in our personal life is actually more impactful than reading the lesson on paper and mm-hmm. meditating on it.
For me, I feel like the lessons are my roadmap. Like, they ground me. They help me process what happens in my everyday life, because I can take my life to the course and try and interpret it through the eyes of that. Like, I've been listening to Gary's CDs again, the Immortal Realities or whatever it is. And that's where I got the forgiving the illusions mm-hmm. over to HSJ. But there are so many golden nuggets. And I think they just get revealed to us and they impact us when we're ready for it. This week I had learned that my mom was going to have heart surgery. And I was okay with it until I got the email saying, pray for me, you know, to everyone she knew.
You're like, uh-oh.
And then I was...
That pushed a button.
Panicked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I actually started crying. Like, I got emotional. Mm-hmm. And then I just had to be with that for 24 hours or whatever. And imagine, like, okay, well, if she left, you know, how would I be? And knowing that... that we are one mind and that we're always together. I don't know. There was some relief and some freedom that I did gain from that. I don't know. We came up with a code word, like if she ended up on the other side and she wanted to contact me, like in Billy Finger's book, what would the code word be? So I know it was her. So I kind of had some fun with her. And I also gave her the book, Afterlife of Billy Finger's book. And she's like, oh, I'm reading my kale cookbook right now. Will you help me get some seeds?
not quite ready.
Not at all.
Having read the Billy Finger's book and listened to the audio, I think the audio is probably the easier one to absorb quickly.
That's good to know. And by the way, listeners, my mom made it through the heart surgery, so she's okay. And
you buried the lead there.
That's a good relief. It was on Good Friday, so.
That's right. It was on Good Friday. Finally, Good Friday makes sense.
Yes, exactly.
It wasn't like, oh, it's Good Friday, let's crucify someone. What?
But you know that attachment of wanting my mother to survive, mm-hmm. and to have a future with her, and yet not wanting to have ideas and futures and,
yeah, and even how it's going to look. Like, this is just a dream anyway.
Yeah, like if it's her time to leave, then it's because, you know, the Holy Spirit had decided with her and within the bigger picture of things, and just coming to terms with that. Maybe it was like a pre-run for something. I don't know.
Right. But yeah, who knows?
It was a pretty big deal for me.
It's like these little moments where we have to kind of reassess quickly where we are with this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing about parents is we have such a tight connection with them, especially with mothers, because we kind of came through them to have this third dimension existence. There's mothers and daughters, there's just a bond. It's hard to truly explain, but I think everybody gets it. It's like, you don't have to explain it. It's an archetype, the archetype of a mother.
Even mothers and sons.
Correct.
Like my close guy friends are mama's boys.
Right. Because we all kind of come through the woman. Mm-hmm. You know, not that fathers aren't important. They absolutely are.
Of course.
But there's something there. There is a bio connection. There's a spiritual connection, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are the vessel in which we are able to come down into the crazy plane. I am very grateful that I was able to come through my mother in the Janine lifetime, because we talked about this last podcast. We have been given the opportunity to work out forgiveness issues in the body, which apparently is the more efficient way to do it. And we learned from reading the Billy Fingers book, it's okay if you're not perfect down here, you can still transcend, which is my absolute favorite lesson from that book. I don't have to be perfect.
Yeah, that is a relief.
Mm-hmm. Also, I don't know why I thought of this, but I'm just going to say it anyway. I had read somewhere, don't remember where, don't know if it's accurate, but was accurate anyway, that I'm a huge history buff. And, you know, Ben Franklin was a great character in history. And that he was reincarnated, or, you know, concurrent lifetime. In our lifetime, he was Buckminster Fuller.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Buckminster Fuller, who passed away. He's no longer Buckminster Fuller, you know, on the earth. But I thought it was fascinating when you look at his life, and he was very much into geodesic domes, and he was an inventor, and it kind of makes sense.
It's interesting. I'd seen in the news that they had found, you remember that bones they called Lucy? Like body.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they found something else, and they said it was like 4.1 billion years
old. Right, like
old.
Way older than Lucy.
Like billion?
Yeah.
Billion? That blew my mind, because when I was thinking about the ego just going on and on for eternity, the dream, and that it's that old, and yet how this point in time's consciousness is all about Christianity and Muslims and Judaism, or like all these different religious kinds of things, and how that stuff probably never existed.
Well, I think the billions whole ago. Lucy and this older skeletal remains stuff, from a timeline perspective, at least in the made up world that we live in third planet. third planet doesn't make any sense.
Third
dimension.
It's pretty funny.
Essentially, time is concurrent. But, you know, in crazy planet, we think everything's linear.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all like happening at once, regardless of what scientific measurement tools we're using to assign some sort of time to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that was 4 billion years ago. Yeah, whatever. It was.
Yeah, I know. I think of Alex's last book with the, like, I was always into the Big Bang, and he calls it the Bit Bang, like a computer kind of chip. Bit
I love
bang.
Him. I got to say, I love him.
And
he's not in my dating age range, but I love him anyway.
Yeah, we both love him.
Yeah.
And so if something was billions of years old, it's just silly to think, like, the circles of life and death. Like Gary's second book, his focus was on breaking the cycle.
I'm rereading that one. Actually.
Wonderful.
Your Immortal
Reality. I'm started back on DU. I'm going to like start and read all three.
I know.
Of them
it's
back
kind
to
of
back.
Like, I decided to go back to two because I had listened to one for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I had read that a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
I've read two, I don't know, a million times. I feel like we just keep rereading the same Gary books, but that's okay.
They give us, and like you said, the layers, like we're getting them in different layers, and we can hear different things now that we couldn't have heard then.
Right.
The separation, like I feel like that's why the ego makes all this stuff happen. So if we can ride above, what were they saying in the workshop we went to? The battlefield. If we can ride above the battlefield, then we're not going to get pulled into these mundane earthly things, the third dimension. What did you call it? 3D? You called it?
Third dimension.
Okay. And then we can just stay more from the point of view of the spirit. How does spirit see this? Spirit doesn't really recognize any of it.
I'd like spirit to like be at my desk at work. You know? Like, can you just sit here with me for
on
like,
my shoulder?
Yeah, a couple minutes would
just
be
whisper
helpful.
In my ear.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And control the dialogue that we have every day about our work life or our home life or the people around us. Because I think when we start using the lexicon of they're bad, they're wrong, I hate them, they treat me terribly, then you start with your mind following that. I think the words really do have meaning if you ascribe them.
I had a friend come visit me recently, and it was a wonderful visit. Just one thing, got a little too drunk one night and kind of spewed everywhere. Mm-hmm. So that meant I needed to clean up after they left. And I found this anger happening inside me, and I didn't like that. So I stopped. And I went to my little meditation chair and I thought to myself, you know, Holy Spirit, please help me see this differently. And all of a sudden I got this picture of being in a monastery and cleaning up after my brother had just been to visit me, and how it just melted the whole anger part from me away, where it became a joy and an expression of love to clean up after this person.
Oh, that's actually pretty profound.
Yeah, it really was. And I think when we get confronted, if we can just stop in the moment, and, you know, sometimes it's hard.
I can attest to that.
But giving it up, throwing it up to HSJ and saying, please help me see this differently.
I have this thing for crosses. I just love cross jewelry. I like wearing cross rosaries. I'm so like not a Christian person necessarily.
It's funny because I'm so against crosses. I've never had one. I've never worn one.
But I love kind of that
I don't know
look,
why.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to work, I always want to wear them, and I stop myself because I don't want to offend those who you know, maybe aren't Christian. But I thought, what difference does it make? It's not like I'm doing it to offend. I'm doing it for me to, you know, somehow remind me that not necessarily from a Christian perspective, but from a Holy Spirit perspective. It's kind of like a talisman for me, just for me as Janine, not kind of broadcasting it out there.
Yeah.
So on Friday, I was like, I'm going to wear these. Like I didn't like feeling like I couldn't wear them because I was somehow protecting other people's perception of Christianity or who I was.
Well, you work in an international environment, so there's different belief systems there.
Right, but if anyone from, let's just say, India walks around with Ganesh statues and stuff, I don't care. I think it's kind of cool, you know? So I just decided to be me.
Good.
And not, if I offend someone, it's certainly not intentional. And I recognize now that that's their kind of thing. That's their perception. It's from a loving place for me. It's just basically reminding myself that it's okay, that I believe in the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't have to feel ashamed of that or worried that people are going to misinterpret it.
I still think I'm crazy sometimes when I think of how much I refer to the Holy Spirit these days.
You are a little nutty.
Or like the Heavenly Father or whatever. I mean, it's so not me, yet it is me. But it's not the way that like my cousins who are conservative Christians would think of Holy Spirit.
Exactly. So they would say Holy Spirit, but it'd be a whole different thing
than
what
context.
You're kind of seeing it as.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, on this high holy day for Christians of Easter, I think we can close podcast 22. Thank you very much, Stephanie. And thank you, listeners. I hope you've had a wonderful Easter holiday by the time you hear this.
And maybe be renewed in some way.
Exactly. And we are looking forward to bringing you the podcast Course of Course number 23 soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.